This is exciting. I think we should officially refer to this as the brand split.
I think that would be very fun.
We need to come up with names for the brands.
We could just do different colors.
That's true.
Maybe just make the graphic yellow. Like the graphic's perfect as it is. Just make it yellow because both of the shows here are yellow. And so is New Japan, so is NWA, and so is every other brand that's not wrestling.
That's
not a WWE. So, and then just keep the other one purple because it's like a mix of red and blue.
Yeah, I'll figure that out later. I'll figure it out later. I'll talk with a person that actually knows about colors. Big colors guy, Angiz, from what I've noticed. And with that, welcome to episode 5 of 1306 Live, Thursday edition. Very excited to announce what we are referring to as the brand split. Jaden, do you want to discuss the new structure we have for this show?
Yeah, we're going to switch it up here a little bit. We noticed that it's not easy to have everything all in one show. Like, we don't want to leave out AEW and NXT because those are two really big shows for us wrestling fans. And also, we don't want to leave out a lot of other stuff that's going on outside of America. We want to talk about Japan. We want to talk about Mexico. We want to talk about a lot of other things. So we're going to add another show. It's going to be another addition onto the Raw and SmackDown shows on Tuesday. So how it's going to work, I'm going to host the Tuesday show, or the Raw and SmackDown show, and Andrew will host the Thursday show, which is the AEW and NXT show. He has full creative control of the AEW NXT show. I have my full control over Raw and SmackDown. And so it's always a surprise that's going to happen. And now we've even doubled the content. So if you like what you're hearing, you're going to hear it literally times two. So a new show for us to dive into, and I think I'm really excited.
And the good news is, you mentioned liking what you hear. I know a lot of people, I've actually gotten multiple complaints about my microphone quality, and I'm happy to report that I've ordered a new and better mic, so... Let's go! Yeah.
It's such a great investment to have, especially when we're going to be doing this twice a week, and I'm on Dribbling Around, you're on 1306, the main podcast, so...
And Absolute Screamers, new soccer podcast, check it out.
Yes, yeah, Absolute Screamers.
I'm just trying to be like you, bro. I'm just trying to be like you.
Is just trying to be like me, the hardest working man in professional broadcasting, yes.
Goated.
I try my best.
He's goated, bro. All right. Before we get into the AEW and NXT segments, I would like to... So the poll on Twitter is still up. So you can still vote on whose wrestling Mount Rushmore is better. But right now, Jaden's in the lead. So, yeah.
Just a reminder, my Mount Rushmore is for the casual fan. For the casual fan.
Hulk That's his Hogan, new nickname Rick on Flair. Twitter. I'd also like to announce that you will now finally be able to understand Jaden's nickname on Twitter.
Yes, I am for the casual fan. I am for the people out there that just maybe watch the big four pay-per-views and sort of get the gist of it at the end of the day. But it's okay. It's okay. That's the good thing about professional wrestling. You can come in and out, and you don't have to watch it every week, because sometimes watching every week makes you rip your hair out. But it's okay.
Look. Being realistic with myself, I will probably lose every single poll that we ever put up for things like that. But you know what? I will go out on my shield. I would rather lose being myself than win being somebody
I'm
not.
100%. You have 100% have a valid argument for the hardcore fan that watches wrestling all the time, and that's awesome, right? But I always say I'm gonna be for the casual fan.
He's a man of the people.
That watches those big four. I'm the man of the people. I'm the voice of the people. So
very nice.
That's how I try to, because that's how I was. That's how I was for a while. I've been so on and off with professional wrestling that I'm nothing more than a casual fan that likes to write about it. At the end of the day, so.
You gotta respect it. All right, NXT, do you want to present your bit first?
No, you go first. You got it.
Oh, okay. For me, it was between two, but I will go with Keith Lee versus Adam Cole.
Mm.
A winner-take-all match on July 8th. And that is one hell of a way to combat Night 2 of Fyter Fest, because that is also taking place July 8th at 8 p.m. So, I mean, I already know which one I'm watching. But I'll be excited for the DVR version of the July 8th episode of NXT.
so you're already going NXT. You haven't
No, I've already recorded I have NXT recorded, but I'm going to watch AEW live because AEW
Oh, you're going to watch AEW better. Live. Okay. Okay, because that's the same thing I'm going to do. I'm watching AEW live.
Of course you are.
NXT has always been in the back burner for me personally, but everyone's a little different.
Yeah, exactly. Who is it that posts the ratings every week on Twitter and their comment section is just a shitstorm? Have you seen that? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It's
Brian Alvarez
that posts
the ratings every week, and it's always like 20,000 people away from each other, and it's the Wednesday Night Wars. AEW knows it can't compete with Monday Night Raw straight up. It definitely can't compete with SmackDown straight up. But you know what? They can't compete with NXT straight up, and they have been for quite some time. I know NXT, it's still the developmental brand, but they're doing the smart thing of at least having a competitor and making people choose. And I've been choosing AEW since its inception.
Yep. I like the comments that say, another win for the good guys. Man, it's great to be elite. It's just a great meme. Quality wrestling meme. All right, but anyway, Keith vs. Cole. Keith Lee on last night's episode of NXT beat Johnny Gargano and Finn Balor to retain his North American title. Very good match. The thing about that is I watch AEW, but NXT is always so good. The main events always deliver. The opening matches are extremely underrated. Freaking Johnny Gargano and Dominik Dijakovic, I just remember a while ago, they were on the first match, and they were really, really good. The wrestling is just good, and I love that from a WWE brand.
Yeah, it's really weird to see it from a WWE brand. It doesn't mean that good that often. And it's weird because then they end up getting called up to the main roster, and they're sort of toned down, or it feels like they're toned down a little bit. It's just something about NXT that gives it that unique flavor, if you will, that yellow spice or whatever they throw in because it's NXT and it's Wednesday night. And they always seem to deliver, you're right.
Do you know what it is? I know what it is. It's the fact that Triple H and Shawn Michaels are in the gorilla position. That show is run by wrestlers. They're not currently wrestling, but Vince McMahon was raised by Vince McMahon Sr., a promoter, right? Triple H and Shawn Michaels are two of the most iconic wrestlers ever, and they know how to make good wrestling because they wrestled. They know what works, they know what doesn't. That's why it's better. That's why the wrestling is better, is because it is run by wrestlers. That's why AEW is so good, because there are like 15 executive vice presidents or whatever the hell their title is, and they're all like the elite, Cody, SC, it's just all those guys. The shows that are run by wrestlers are always more fun to watch. It's just, it literally makes sense. So
yeah, I believe it.
Leaders beat Gargano and Finn, like I just said, and Adam Cole is on an outrageous historic title run. It doesn't feel like it's been over a year. It feels like the title run is new and fresh, but it also feels like he's been the champion since 2017 or something outrageous. This is the greatest NXT championship run of all time, no doubt. And usually when title reigns last this long, it's Brock Lesnar and I'm upset because Brock Lesnar has the title. But Cole defends it every NXT TakeOver. He defends it, obviously, on TV because he's defending it July 8th. He's always there. And Adam Cole is a fantastic, not only wrestler, but superstar, entertainer. This is the best NXT champion of all time. One of the best title runs we've seen under the WWE banner in recent years. What do you think of Cole's title run?
I love it. And I think that him having that belt for so long legitimizes him and also legitimizes the belt as something that really should be sought after. And it's tough to do when it's a developmental brand, but they have with that NXT championship, right? And I even think the same thing about the North American championship, not only because it's on Keith Lee and Keith Lee has been so strong, it's just the fact that it's such a beautiful belt. Like,
it is
like
very
aesthetically,
nice.
It's just a beautiful belt.
It's very nice.
And now I wonder, the winner that comes out of this, they're going to be, I think it might be better off if you lose this match, because now you have a better chance of getting called up to the main roster. You know what I'm saying? Keith Lee loses this match. Adam Cole gets both the belts. What are they going to do? Bump up Adam Cole to the main roster with both of the main championships on NXT? No, they're going to have to keep him down there. So I think the loser might get a chance to be called up or have one final match in NXT, maybe come around after SummerSlam, because I would love to see Keith Lee on the main roster. I would love to see him on the main, like, oh, that would be a dream.
But you notice a lot, especially now, not only do guys not go to the main roster, they go back to NXT Tyler Breeze, Finn Balor, Gargano, Ciampa, both
but
decided...
But yeah, you gotta remember, they go back to NXT because of their failed run in WWE. That doesn't happen... That's been happening as of recently, but it's not that it was a failed run in most cases. It was either that...
Finn Balor was not a failed run.
I know, yeah, first Universal Champion, but bad booking or something like that forces them to go back down. Tyler Breeze got stale. Fandango got stale. So they ended up having to go down. And it works for a lot of people, too. Just look at McIntyre, you know? That's all you have to say. Just look at right. McIntyre. Look what happened to him.
Well, he got fired. You want to talk about getting sent down.
Yeah, he ended up getting fired. Where did he go? Impact?
Impact, What Culture Pro Wrestling, IPW.
Shout out to Adam Bombier.
Yeesh. That guy's had a fun time. But
that guy has traveled a long, long road.
He has. But you're exactly right. It's bad booking. It's gone to a point where I would not wish getting called up to any of those guys. You look at people like Shayna Baszler, who is maybe the...
There's something up with her. I don't know what's up with her right now, but she's been off TV.
No, what it is, I'll tell you what it is. Vince McMahon lost interest. That's what happened.
I don't think so.
That's what a lot of reports are saying. I've not heard anything else except the fact that, quite simply, Vince McMahon has lost interest. He's lost interest in a lot of guys over the years, and it's just cut their run or kind of buried.
I feel like she would be better served not on NXT, but if she waited to return when there's fans back in seats. I've wrote about this a couple times, but there's fans back in seats. Put the belt on her, and she has like a Lesnar-like run because that's exactly who she is.
Yeah, except she actually wrestles though.
Exactly. I feel like she would be better served as a dominant champion. And like, there's a lot of good heels for the women's division in WWE, but I don't feel like there's a lot of deadly heels. Like heels that, like, there's good on the microphone heels. You know what I'm saying? Like Bayley, Banks. You know what I'm saying? A lot of like on the good speaking heels, but I don't look at them as dominant. Like they'll kill you. Baszler will kill you. That's how I see her. So I feel like the women's division needs that 100%.
But you could have a run where she could kill you and stuff, and she doesn't have to be like Lesnar where she only appears to.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah, it just upsets me, and again, I hope it's wrong, but I just keep hearing Vince doesn't care about Baszler, he's not interested. That really breaks my heart because, like you said, Shayna Baszler is a top-tier heel. She is so freaking good. And she has Jessamyn Duke and Marina Shafir.
Mm-hmm.
They had that little four horsewomen of freaking, what's it called, UFC.
Yeah.
That there's something there. Duke and Shafir could be a very believable tag team in the women's division. I do not understand why all three of those people are off TV. I don't get it. They're all in Florida, so they can play in Florida Championship Wrestling, which is what WWE is now these days. It sucks. It sucks that Vince McMahon decided that Shayna Baszler wasn't fun enough for him. Maybe if she was blonde, he'd care more. But you know what? It is what it is. But back to Colin Lee. July 8th, who do you give the match to?
Ooh, now this that's is a tough big one. Question, right? The Keith Lee has earned so much. He has earned, and he has just been such an amazing wrestler. But you can say the same thing about Adam Cole and what he's done for NXT. It honestly can go either way. The fact that it's coinciding with Fyter Fest makes me think that they're gonna switch the belts for that moment, like to have that moment coinciding with Fyter Fest. So like, it's you're forced to watch it. But at the same time, I really don't think they take the belt off Cole. He's had it for so long. It's a really tough choice. If they have to put, I don't know. Honestly, I wouldn't bet on this match. If I was a betting man, I wouldn't bet on this match because it really can go either way. But a gun to my head, and I had to, I think I would say Cole. I think I would say Cole. But I would not bet on this match because it's way too close to call. Way too close.
I mean, there are two ways I look at this. By winning this match, Cole would pretty much, if he hasn't already, cement himself as the greatest NXT champion of all time. On the other hand, like you said, this could be the, you know, Mankind winning the title and everyone switches from WCW to Raw. They could do that. Maybe Keith Lee would have that effect. Granted, they're not quite the same, I don't think. Of course, I love Keith Lee. Of course, everyone that watches Keith Lee probably loves Keith Lee, but it's not mainstream, so it wouldn't. I don't know if Keith Lee has that hype. But one very important role in Adam Cole's title reign is the Undisputed Era and their heel shenanigans. This was another reason that Cole's title run has been so damn good. The whole prophecy gimmick, fulfilling the prophecy, Cole with the NXT title, Roddy with the North American title, Fish and O'Reilly with the tag team belts. This is what made Cole's run so good. And I'm starting to think that maybe there is a chance that now that Kyle O'Reilly's back, they could be trying to run that angle again. I mean, they're not going to get it again, I don't think. I don't think all four of them are going to have the belts. But I don't see Cole dropping the belts, as hard as it is for me to say. I don't really see Cole dropping the belt, so I have to go with Adam Cole on July 8th.
All right. I think that's fair. I think that's more than fair. Either way you cut it, it's going to be a great match. I think this is going to be an amazing, amazing match.
That's the only thing I'm certain about. It's going to be a hell of a match. That's all I know. Other than that, it's anyone's guess. What is your note on NXT?
My note, I want to talk about Rhea Ripley and Aaliyah. And Aaliyah with Robert Stone, because I love Robert Stone. I think that he's just the funniest guy.
Robert Stone is a legend.
Some people might not agree with me at that, but at the same time, Robert Stone, I think he's just funny. He's just funny. He threw the shoe at Rhea Ripley during the match. Like, no one does that. Everyone just stands up on the apron, but he's crazy. The bell that we can threw up. Right,
yeah.
Like, that is
classic. Nasty. Do you by chance know what Robert Stone was doing before WWE?
I don't know what he was doing before WWE, but I know he was an in-ring guy in the early days of WWE, right?
He was in Impact Wrestling under the name Robbie E, and he was part of this tag team called the Bromans. It was with Jesse Godders, a.k.a. Mr. Pectacular. And I'm not quite sure, because I'm sure not a lot of people these days are still familiar with the Bromans. It was a three-man faction later with Zima Ion, a.k.a. DJ Z, a.k.a. Joaquin Wild now, in the Legado de Fantasma faction with Santos Escobar and Raul Mendoza. Anyway, they were this group, and it was basically just, I don't know how to describe it, other than, like, douchey white guys. And look it up on YouTube. You'll understand after, like, one video. You'll get it. But anyway, Robert Stone is hilarious as a manager. One thing that made the bromance so fun was Robbie E's ability to just talk. He's really, really good when he's talking. That's why him as a managerial role is so much fun. And then you take that, and he can wrestle, so he can take a bump. Mm-hmm. So it's hilarious when people like Rhea Ripley kick the shit out of him, throw him in a dumpster.
He's going to have a match with her and Aaliyah next week's gonna be a handicap, and I think that is just perfect, you know. And I also like how Regal is on his iPad at home, so the quarantine and stuff like that. So I thought that was funny. I like that whole segment throughout the show. So I thought that was my note. I thought that was pretty funny.
Robbie's a legend. All right, are you ready for AEW?
Sure, let's do it.
I went first
Dynamite.
What is your note for AEW since I went first on NXT?
Well, I think I have to talk about the big AEW moment, and that is Orange Cassidy and Jericho once again face-to-face, and Jericho once again on your Mount Rushmore. No, he's not, but obviously great. Obviously a legend.
He is on my Mount Rushmore.
Definitely not on the Mount Rushmore, but is a legend.
Yes.
Continuing.
I would have to agree.
Continuing. Jericho comes out on the mic, does a great job, obviously doesn't come out with Sammy Guevara. Right now suspended by AEW after comments made back in 2016.
He's in trouble.
This is his first one. This is one of his first times out without him in a long, long time. And he comes out, starts talking smack about Orange Cassidy. And
why did the chicken cross the road to get to the other side?
And I thought that was awesome. I thought because he not only did he threw a curveball and then stepped up to the plate and hit it out the park, right? Because that was awesome. He put us one way where we thought it was a little weird. It's like, why is he talking about this? And then he wrapped it all up saying, oh, that joke, once you hear it once, it's good. And hear it twice, it's sort of like, all right, hear it third time, it's kind of getting old now, and that's Orange Cassidy, right? And
dude, Jericho
I thought
spitting
that was
bars.
Like, wow, like that is like, you're coming at this guy's throat, you know, that like that is tough. But I thought that was awesome. And then Cassidy does the shin kicks, puts the hands in the pockets and stuff like that. Jericho breaks the glasses off his face, rips out the lens, and then Cassidy flips. So I thought that was a great segment. They started brawling out by the in Daly's place in the area that's toward camera side. and it hit him with the jib. So yeah, the ears, his ear always bleeds. Is that like a thing?
I don't know. Maybe it's a condition. I couldn't honestly tell you.
I remember his ear bleeding when he got hit with the oranges, and now with the so maybe that's like a thing with him. His ear just bleeds profusely. But either way, I can't be more excited for that match. That's gonna be really, really fun.
Yeah, look, Orange Cassidy has the most unreal shin kicks in pro wrestling. Like the crowd, you hear the crowd when he does it. The impact is unreal. He's like the ginger Aleister Black. No, but seriously. Orange Cassidy's gimmick is amazing, and I guarantee you he has ironed that shit out for years and years, because he's one of those guys that has been around for a deceptively long time. He made his debut in 2006, right? But what really makes this match for me, right, is the GOAT himself, Chris Jericho, obviously. And Jericho did something.
Yeah, boy.
You mentioned this. Jericho did something that took this match up a notch. He Orange Cassidy'd Orange Cassidy. When he took the sunglasses off of Cassidy's face and with a completely straight face, snapped them and broke them right in Orange's face, as if to say, oh, I don't care. Similarly to Orange Cassidy. I'm telling you, he Orange Cassidy to Orange Cassidy. And then Orange freaking snapped and freaked out and like, oh, wow, it's a bitter rivalry. I'm not sure I'd ever say that about Orange Cassidy. And the thing about Orange Cassidy is when he tries, he is a hell of a wrestler. And that makes his character so much interesting to me. I mean, he's always been able to wrestle. I know he has I don't know if it's a moonsault or a 450 in his locker. He might pull it out against Jericho because of, you know, the levels of hatred between the two of them. Again, Orange Cassidy we're talking about. Like, what?
The only thing that bothers me is that this is for free. And obviously, like, saying that... It doesn't bother a lot of people, but I feel like this could be better served at a better time when there was fans, it is people in the stadium, when this is a big pay-per-view. Obviously, it's a Fighter Fest. It's a two-week event and all stuff like that. It's a big deal. But I feel like a match of this caliber as well.
It's Orange fucking Cassidy.
I know, but that's exactly what I'm saying. You can't overlook Orange Cassidy. He holds the wrestling world in his hands right now, because he's something that we haven't seen ever that perform that well. You know what I'm saying?
That is true.
And it's Chris Jericho, your boy. Obviously, it's going to be great that everyone sees it, but at the same time, I feel like this would be better served with fans in seats.
I mean, every wrestling match would serve better with fans in seats. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're talking about, like, Cage and Moxley, like, I mean, any match with MJF.
Well, that might not even happen now.
Yeah, that's right. But, shoot. but, yeah, I mean, Orange Cassidy at the end of the day, his gimmick just doesn't allow him to be a main event guy. Can you imagine Orange Cassidy with the AEW championship? Oh, you can't? Wow.
No, but I can see him with the TNT for sure.
The potential. That would be hilarious, actually. That would be ridiculously funny. But it's the TNT championship. It's literally a TV title. The name of the championship is the TV network it's on. So he's not...
Right now, they're pushing that title really well. And, like, that title is getting pushed, like, tremendously well. All the title matches that they had for it so far have been technical masterpieces. Like, they've been really good.
I'm really glad that Ricky Starks got a job, too. I've been kind of following his career for a couple of years now. Ricky Starks is about it, man. He's on the younger side, too, I believe. I think he's, like... Mm-hmm. 24-ish? I don't know. He's somewhere in that range. But he's a hell of a guy. I'm glad he got his. But, yeah, you're right. Those are TV matches. These are all TV matches. It's a TV title. It's meant to be on TV. And I think Orange Cassidy definitely suits that. But either way, Orange versus Jericho is happening. Very, very happy about that. I think because my note was Orange and Jericho, but I also have written down... I just kind of want to talk about the tag team division in AEW, because we talk a lot about AEW, but we never give the tag team division enough love, and it is the best tag team division in the world right now, bar freaking none. The Bucks, FTR, Butcher and the Blade, Luchasaurus, and Jungle Boy, who else? Hello. I mean, even the newly... minted tag team Sonny Kiss and Joey Janela, who they just kind of threw together. Oh, I forgot Santana and Ortiz. Hello,
they're my favorite, easily my favorite.
Oh yeah, with their
as a guy from Queens, easily my favorite. Queens who's also Puerto Rican, easily my favorite. Like, they have checked off all the boxes. The thing they did with the pep rally, that I fell in love. Like, I could buy their t-shirts right now. Like, just fell in love. I love them.
Yeah. No, Santana and Ortiz are awesome. They're fantastic members of the inner circle. I guess we're just talking about them first. Santana and Ortiz are fantastic members of the inner circle because not only are they an actual tried and true tag team that was together before this whole thing, they play the role of just kind of the loose cannons, and every group has that. Yeah. And to have two of them that are a tag team that are just kind of wild and crazy and you know, do flippy shit, and it's really, really awesome. I love them in the inner circle, them in just everything about them. They know what they're doing. There's no other way of putting it.
Yeah, 100% right. Everything they touch has been good, and I think that obviously has a lot to do with Jericho as well.
Exactly, but not exclusively, because they've been teaming for a while. I know they were tag champs in Impact, so they've been about it for a long time. But of course, again, anybody that touches Chris Jericho is up to another level. So it's you know, so he is the greatest of all time after all. So next. Who do I want to talk about next? Oh, there's the Dark Order, freaking Evil Uno and Stu Grayson. And we haven't seen them for a while because they're Canadian and have been quarantining in Canada. But I remember one of the first nights of Dynamite, I was like, I am a massive Stu Grayson fan. It's so low-key. It's so subtle. But if you watch Stu Grayson wrestle, you're like, whoa, what the hell is this? Why is he so good at wrestling? I love, and of course there's the whole Dark Order gimmick, which was good before Brody Lee, but Brody Lee took it up a notch, and Evil Uno is so funny. So, so funny. I love Evil Uno. But I love the Dark Order. They've expanded in numbers. Now they got freaking... Colt Cabana, I guess.
It's like boom, boom, Colt Cabana, boom, boom. That was me yesterday in that match. Boom, I thought that was pretty funny.
Colt Cabana, boom, boom. I love how rusty or raspy the voice is on the theme song. Boom, boom. Hey, pack of smokes, kind of thing.
You know exactly who's coming out when you hear it.
It's Colt Cabana, as I'm aware.
Yes.
It's Colt Cabana. Yes, but I love the Dark Order. They're gonna have a good tag title run someday, man. It's gonna happen. Because they weren't they the number one tag team before the whole quarantine thing and they had to kick rocks?
Yeah, but so many tag teams come in and have proven themselves after quarantine. I think they're gonna have to wait a while.
Maybe. The good news is they have Brody Lee. And if they're not in the tag team title picture, they're still the freaking Dark Order.
They're still a solid faction, yeah.
They're still... I love the Dark Order gimmick, man. I love the Dark Order gimmick. It is so much fun.
I don't think I am as high on it as you are.
Probably.
I'm pretty high on Brody Lee, just the fact that he was a WWE guy and now he's doing his thing and he's became a main eventer out of nowhere in AEW. But I do like it, but I don't think it's my favorite thing in the world. I like plenty other gimmicks in AEW more than that.
Of course it's not my favorite gimmick, but the fact that it's just like, yeah, we're a cult, and we're not going to try to deny it. This is fine. Join us. Join DarkOrder.com. Like, they know what they are, and they're just like, man, screw it. We're the freaking Dark Order. Next, they returned last night. The freaking Lucha Bros. I totally forgot that they were a tag team. Yes, Rey Fénix, Pentagon Jr. Oh, my God. I was sitting there with my hands on my head. When they appeared behind freaking FTR, I was like, oh my God, because Fénix has been around. He's been around during quarantine, but Pentagon Jr. hasn't. I think he was either injured or quarantining. I just remember not seeing him for a long time for whatever reason. But the fucking Lucha Brothers are back. Oh my God.
In the day and age where if you're wearing a mask, you're usually a face, has having come be a solid heel in the company has been great.
They're one of the best tag teams in the world. They are one of the best tag teams in the world. They are one of the best tag teams in the world. And in a day where tag team wrestling is valued so highly, that's impressive. Especially, they stand out in a locker room with FTR and the Young Bucks. So
they stand out, but they're not the best. Like, I think they're great, but they're not the best. I think, like, you look at Best Friends, I like them more than Lucha Bros. You look at Young Bucks, I like them more than Lucha Bros. FTR, definitely I like more than Lucha Bros. SoCal, for me, I love SoCal.
SCU.
But, like, me and Private Party, I'm falling. I'm liking a little bit, too. It just goes to show you how stacked this tag team division is. And the thing that differentiates WWE and AEW when it comes to tag team wrestling, especially on the main roster, is that you can't really invest in a WWE tag team but you can invest your life onto an AEW tag team.
Exactly. Like, you think of these tag teams, Matt and Nick Jackson, Trent and Chuck, freaking, what are they called? Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy, FTR, Lucha Bros. Yeah. They're not breaking up. Maybe Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy. Well, I don't know where the hell either of them would go. Well, I know where Jungle Boy would go. He's the freaking future of the business. But, like, Trent and Chuck, I can see them breaking up, maybe. But, like, the Young Bucks, FTR, the Lucha Bros, if you become a fan of them, like, they're not breaking up. Because what would they do? What the hell would they do?
Yeah, exactly.
They're not like the Hardy Boys, where they can have a successful singles career. And that's just, I don't know. It's kind of like the Usos, you know what I mean? They're a tag team, and it's not going to never be.
And the division's so good, and the belts right now are held by two singles competitors. At least that's how I see
it. Yeah, that's right.
Two singles competitors. So that, I think that's the only flaw right now in the division, and it's tough to say that Kenny Omega's a flaw. But I would love to see the belt on a real, like, tag team. Because both Hangman Page and Kenny Omega can go do their thing on their own, and they'd be fine.
Yeah.
Matt and Nick Jackson, I don't think, would. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, absolutely. I'm just waiting for Hangman to turn on Kenny. Because there's the whole thing where he, like, doesn't like the Elite. He's, like, not a part of it. I'm waiting for that to happen. He becomes a good TNT champion. And eventually a world champion. And it's Hangman Page. I'm ready for Kenny Omega to be in the world title picture. What the hell is going on? He's one of the best. Yeah. He's the best performer of this generation. I think he's one of the, if not the greatest performer of all time. Put him my greatest performer of all time in category.
Not on the Mount Rushmore, but definitely. I can't disagree with you with that point. Like, he's probably one of the greatest, if not the greatest, performers of all time.
And why is he in a makeshift tag team with Hangman?
Maybe behind Shawn Michaels? Question mark? Question mark? Maybe behind Shawn Michaels? Question mark? Question mark? But
question mark indeed.
Very similar, but. Yeah, 100% deserves to be in the title picture. I have no idea why he hasn't, as of late.
I am ready to see them drop the belts, is what I'm telling you here. Give it to freaking... it'd be funny if freaking Chuck and Trent win at Fyter Fest. I'm just ready to see that happen. That would be fun.
Oh, yeah, I would love that. That would be awesome. And I would hug it out.
I was going to say, you want to know another
that's the
tag
best
team?
Best hug in professional wrestling.
Dude, the hug spot? How the hell did they get that over? They're just so good.
Nothing beats the hug spot.
I love... we'll just talk about them now. I love them. Not only do I love them, they're like homies with Orange Cassidy. You want to talk about just really good baby faces? And it's Chuck Taylor and Trent. They could be heel. But they are fantastic.
Oh, yeah, definitely could be heel.
I mean, the best friends gimmick, you look at... Friggin' Peyton Royce and Billy Kay. You can be super best friends and still be dicks to each other, or to other people. So, I say that, Billy Kay slapped the shit out of Peyton Royce, so I guess you can be dicks to each other. But it's like, because you look at Trent, he was friggin' Trent Beretta in WWE. He was on one of those, like, game show seasons of NXT when it was bad, and then he jobbed out on SmackDown and came and won multiple IWGP World Tag Team Championships with, I don't know if it was, no, it was Rocky Romero, I believe, yeah. Roppongi Vice. That was a good team. Trent Beretta is a natural tag team wrestler. He's a fantastic singles wrestler, too. I think Chuck Taylor, who I believe is a former PWG champion, if you remember PWG, then rest in peace.
I think they both started their careers there, did they?
I know they spent a lot of time there. I know they did a lot of those shows. They're just both indie guys, true indie guys, and I love them as a tag team. They just compliment each other. So they're best friends. How can you not love them? And the freaking hug spot. If they go heel, do you think it'll be a fist bump spot to show that they're cool?
No, it'll still be a hug.
How do you? I think it'll still be a hug. You know what? If anyone can do a heel hug,
the hug
spot,
is sort of like a slap in the face to the opponent. Also, the hug can go either way.
If there's anybody that can make a like comedically believable hug spot, it's Trent and Chuck. Yeah. They could just be they could do it and just be super mad the whole time. Can you imagine Chuck Taylor with an overly angry face, just like, come here, and they just hug, and he's staring at the hard cam with hatred in his eyes? I don't know. Just the idea of that makes me laugh. I love Chuck Taylor. But let's just, so we don't ramble on, who do you think is the best tag team in AEW?
Best tag team in AEW? FTR will be when they get their feet settled, when they finally confirm themselves as the best, but I think right now it's Young Bucks.
The Young Bucks?
I think I would go Young Bucks, and then Best Friends at 2.
Yeah, I'm going with Dustin Rhodes and QT Marshall. No, I'm not. if I had to pick? Oh. I mean, I enjoy all their matches. We didn't really talk that much about Private Party. Mark Quinn.
I like them, but I don't think they're the best.
No, I don't either. I love them. I don't either. I just think they deserve more than one sentence about them. Mark Quinn recently put on a really good match with Cody for the TNT belt. That was a hell of a match. They're not the best in AEW, but they would freaking wreck shit pretty much everywhere else.
Yeah.
Weren't they scouted like a House of Glory event? Anyway. If I had to pick the best tag team in AEW, FTR will be. You're absolutely right about that.
Will be, yeah.
And freaking the Lucha Bros will be up there again. Once they start again, once we start seeing Lucha Bros matches, we will remember how freaking good they are.
Yeah, it might be my recency bias on that one.
It could be, because I'm ready to see them wrestle as a team again. But I'll have to go with the Young Bucks. Matt and Nick Jackson, man. Without them, this whole wrestling thing would be different.
Without them, I think AEW would be completely different as well. First, probably one of the best tag teams in the indie scene, Japan scene, right? And then they come over to AEW and say, hey, this is a legitimate place to be. And a lot of people come over as well. So without them, they're a big part in the reason why AEW is so good.
They're a main part in why AEW exists.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, they turned the wrestling world upside down. Them and Kenny Omega, especially. Without the three of them, AEW wouldn't exist. It's literally called All Elite Wrestling, and the three of them are the members of the Elite. So, without them, AEW doesn't exist. All these fantastic careers don't exist. I mean, it's not that they don't exist, but less people care. The Young Bucks, it would be disrespectful, I guess, right now, not to acknowledge.
But wait till FTR starts getting moving. That'd be great too.
Yeah, and the Lucha Bros. Then it's going to be an actual difficult conversation. All right, it's going to wrap it up for the weekly segment. Love talking about the grabs here, but one part, I don't know if you mentioned this before. So Thursday today is my day to host the show, and we have changed the trivia segment. The host will ask the not host 5 questions, and the not host will not ask any. And I guess next week, since it's, like, both of us hosting, we can just, at the end, decide a winner by how many we get right. So, today, I know you've recently been watching The Last Ride.
Yeah.
And
I finished it, and it was great.
Yes, I need to keep watching it as well. I watched another episode, I think, after we stopped recording the other day. But this is Undertaker themed trivia, and let me tell you something, you are going to have a bitch of a time. The last question, I don't even think you knew any of this part existed, this last question.
I like the Undertaker, so hopefully I get a good amount. But remember, I'm for the casual fan.
You're for the casual fan.
Right, it's okay.
You are for the casual fan, which is why I think the last question is going to ruin you. All right, first question. We all know him as the Undertaker. We all know the Undertaker gimmick. But what was the Undertaker's original name? And this still applies to the Undertaker character. But he wasn't exactly named the Undertaker when he debuted.
Kane the Undertaker.
That is correct.
Yeah.
That is correct.
Yeah, I know my things.
Well done. Yeah, it was so weird. I was looking that up, and I'm like, I was just like kind of making sure because I'd heard about it. And it was so weird. I watched a video on YouTube, and there is Howard Finkel announcing him as Kane the Undertaker. I'm like, well, that doesn't sound right. But it... for like a month or whatever it was. That's good. Question number 2. How many times did The Undertaker hold the WWE Championship?
The WWE, not World Heavyweight.
Not World the Heavyweight. WWE the Championship. WWE Championship.
Okay, I know he held it once in that purple gimmick. He held the Undisputed, but I don't know if does that count as the WWE Championship?
Yep, that counts.
Does that count?
It does count.
All right, so I'm going to say 3 times.
The answer was 4.
Close enough.
He beat Hogan.
I know he never held it. Oh, Hogan.
He beat Hogan twice.
Yeah.
One was the Undisputed Championship, and one was the, like you said, purple gimmick. He beat Steve Austin for it during the Attitude Era. And
he beat Steve Austin, then he beat Psycho Sid, right?
He also beat Psycho Sid, so.
Yeah.
I had the right idea. Yeah, you were close. All right.
That's a casual fan answer.
That's a casual fan answer. We need to start making t-shirts with a casual fan. All right.
My face on it.
You should start wearing your own t-shirts like Orange Cassidy. Anyway.
Oh, yeah. So
The Undertaker and... This is the third question. The Undertaker and Sting wrestled in WCW in 1990, but Taker was known by a different name at the time. What was that name?
Wasn't he a part of a tag team with WCW, right, at that time?
I don't actually know that. But it was...
I think it's Red something. Red, because he had red hair, and he's like a big guy.
I'll tell you right now, it does not have Red in it. He was known by... He was known by Red something at one point, but that's not the one you're looking for. I'll tell you that now.
I want to say it was Mark Calloway. I'm going to say Mark Calloway.
Mean Mark Callis.
Oh.
Very close, but all right. No.
That's a casual fan answer. That's a
casual fan.
Very close. So very close. I knew I was on the right track.
I will give you a half point for that.
All right.
You said Mark Cal, and that's most of the syllables in this name. So I will give you. I will give you half a point. You have a point and a half right now. Question number four. The Undertaker literally hung a dude at WrestleMania 15. Who was it?
Yes, I know this answer. Big Boss Man.
Correct.
With help from
the Brood,
Edge, the Brood, and all them. See, I know my things, man. I know my things.
I wouldn't.
All right, now this is the hard one, right?
This is the hard one. The casual fan will not enjoy this question. Okay. In 1990, The Undertaker teamed up with Scott Hall to challenge for the IWGP World Tag Team Championships in New Japan. What did he go by?
The Undertaker teamed up with
Punisher Dice Morgan. So 2.5 is your final score. That's a 50% in a 5-question thing. You got 50% because that's how math works. Well done.
Wow.
Well done.
You've never gotten that last question.
Yeah, I was like
ever.
I was like, the casual that's fan insane. Will get at least 2 of these, maybe 3. I knew the Mean Mark Callis.
2.5.
You got 2.5.
I think that is a very solid casual fan outing.
A solid casual fan outing.
Yeah.
You know what?
That is just enough to call yourself an Undertaker fan.
I guess. The 45% is the threshold, and you got 50%, so well done. All right.
Yes.
We're not doing Gimmick Hall of Fame this week, so this is going to be the last segment. And I'm really, really looking forward to this one. Everyone knows that it's hard to dispute. Rey Mysterio is the greatest masked superstar of all time. That begs the question, who is the second greatest? And we've both come with an answer for that and reasons why. So I'll offer it to you, Jane. Do you want to go first or do you want me to?
I'll let you go first because I want to see where you go with it.
All right. So this was really, really hard. I had a bunch of different guys in my head. I was thinking maybe El Santo, pretty much the father of Lucha Libre. I was thinking maybe Los Conquistadores. I was thinking maybe Juventud Guerrera, one of the best cruiserweights of the 90s. I was thinking maybe 10 from the Dark Order. But I decided on the one, the only, Jushin Thunder Liger. Let me run.
That's not my answer, but that's such a great
answer. Let me run some numbers by you, all right? I want you to guess the amount of titles he's held over his career. Just guess. First number that comes to mind.
67.
That's a lot of, like, obviously that's a bit of an over-exaggerated number. But the answer is...
You made it sound like you have 1,000 titles.
No, look. Look, he has won a championship 38 times.
Oh, that's still tremendously large.
That's what I'm saying. So I was hoping you said like 20 or something, but it's fine. Look.
Okay.
38.
It's the first number that comes to mind. I didn't want to say 69.
Damn it. I'm a whole child. All right. So... He has won a championship 38 times, which is an outrageous amount. He has been the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion, the most prestigious lightweight or cruiserweight title in the history of professional wrestling. He's held that 11 times. The guy is a tank as well. He's also won 10 tournaments in his career. And, I mean, you know how the Japanese love their wrestling tournaments, and, like, you have to be really, really good to even be let into one, let alone given the win. For every one he didn't win, he was in probably like 20 more. Jushin Thunder Liger, man, he's a tank. And despite not being a WWE or WCW guy, and he was a junior heavyweight, despite all that, he managed to get number 8 on the PWI 500, or I think it was 7. It was 8 or 7. Really high up on the PWI 500 in 2000. And that's during the Attitude Era, with the height of freaking wrestling in the mainstream. He beat out guys like Jericho, who was number 9, Eddie Guerrero, who was number 20, Kurt Angle, who was number 13. Literally everybody in the wrestling world that was in Triple H, The Rock, Chris Benoit, Kenta Kobashi, Justin Credible, and Mike Awesome. So he was it. And that's without talking about his sheer just in-ring quality. Like, the guy could move, and it looked kind of funny because he did look a little pudgy at times, especially with his drop kicks. His drop kicks are fun to watch, man. He's like a small little dude just jumping up and smacking you in the face. It's funny. But he was extremely quick despite this, and, I mean, he could steal the show with the best of them. And then, of course, there's his longevity. Like, the guy made his professional wrestling debut in March of 1984. When did he retire? Do you know when he retired?
Like, very recently.
Dude, he retired in January 2020, a few months ago. His career...
Like I said, very recently. Once again, casual fan answer.
Yeah. His career lasted my current lifespan twice. Like, think about this.
Wow.
Think about this. Imagine wrestling your entire life and then wrestling your entire life again. That's how I compare Jushin Liger's career. Like, so, again, any other pick, I believe, is just totally incorrect. Yeah. Jushin Liger, I salute you, your career. Doing this research, I'm like, damn, Jushin Liger might actually be the greatest masked superstar of all time. I did the bit in the beginning about not knowing who it was because I wanted to put Jushin Liger and Ten from the Dark Order in the same breath because that's funny. But Jushin Liger, man, there was no question he was my pick. He's the second greatest, if not the greatest, masked superstar of all time. Jaden, who you got?
Yeah, I think you're 100% right. But I'm not going to give you that same answer. But I think you're right. Like, there's no one beats, like, no one. And also, you look at list of masked superstars, and I don't want to give it to a white guy because there's a lot of white masked superstars that are great, but I feel like that's a disrespect to the history of masked wrestling. Like, I could give it to Mankind, right? I could give it to Kane. I can give it to Vader, right? And these guys are obviously legends, but that's not really fair, you know? Like, and then again...
And all of those guys unmasked.
Exactly. Also, I could give it to Mr. America.
Mr. America!
A solid, solid pick. But no, I'm going to go with the guy that's sort of done like, a respectable guy in the Lucha Libre industry, Ultimo Dragon.
Woo! Bars.
I think that's a solid pick. Obviously, no, doesn't touch anywhere close to Liger, but does have a very respectable stats. You know, outside the he was a part of the WWE for a little bit, but he's obviously known for everything he's done outside of the WWE, maybe one of the most accomplished wrestlers in wrestling history outside of the WWE, right? Obviously, excluding a lot of non-masked wrestlers. So he was a J Crown winner. He held over 10 championships at once, former WCW Cruiserweight and Television Champion. He's been a legend almost all over the world, and he just never was really able to break into the WWE. He had some moments here and there, and he did work a little bit in the early days of the Cruiserweight division, but besides that, in WWE, he wasn't really that strong, but outside of the WWE, I think he was pretty great. But, you know, you do look at a lot of these wrestlers, like Mankind. I know they did Unmask and stuff like that, but at the time, Mankind was, like, the GOAT. Like, he was really good, you know?
He was good.
And even Kane. Kane, obviously, he unmasked too, but Kane, one of the greatest big men in the history of professional wrestling, right? And even Vader, too, another great big man in professional wrestling. All these wrestlers unmasked, so that's why it's tough to also put them in the same breath as a lot of these Lucha Libres that have never unmasked in their life. Like, they could be walking next to you down the street and you would never know. But at the same time, you still have to show the respects to them because they did wrestle with the mask almost all of their career.
The fact that you mentioned Kane, Mankind, and Vader for the greatest mask superstar of all time, that is what in the world?
I know, it's not right, but at the same time, you still have to, you forget that because you know them, at least for us, because we didn't grow up with them wearing masks, if that makes sense. Like, we didn't grow up with Kane wearing a mask, we grew up with Kane maskless. But during his debut and during his time while he was wearing the mask as the Big Red Monster, Undertaker's brother and stuff like that, like, he was it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But when you think
obviously, the accolades-wise, they don't come anywhere close to a lot of these Lucha Libres.
That's definitely true. And longevity is such an important part of it. Like, that's the reason that Steve Austin isn't up there with the greatest superstars of all time. Like, the guy was...
Yeah, that's what hurt
his,
him a lot.
His peak was the peak of professional wrestling in the mainstream, and he was such a big part of it, but injuries cut his career short and kept him out of the conversation for the greatest of all time.
I still think that he's, like, top five, but I don't know if he can break... if he is number one.
No, he's not a chance. But you're right. But if his career lasted longer and he had more, of course he had more in him, but injury took him out. He would be up there maybe. But you think I think of mass superstars and I think of how the mask made their career. Like you got to remember with Mankind, Mick Foley was doing like three other gimmicks at the same time.
Oh yeah.
And I don't know. It doesn't feel right. But your pick is really good. The Ultimo Dragon. The Ultimo Dragon.
Ultimo Dragon, I like a lot.
Because this is the truth for both Liger and Ultimo Dragon, is you're like, oh yeah, they kind of struggled in WWE. Well, first of all, Liger competed in one match under the WWE banner when he stole the show with Tyler Breeze at an NXT TakeOver when he was 50 years old. He freaking stole the show at an NXT event. That's the only match he ever competed under the WWE banner. And then guys like Ultimo Dragon, he didn't freaking need the WWE. Why the hell? What?
Yeah,
he didn't need it. He struggled there, but like, that's because he wasn't big, tall, big boy. I mean, the lightweight division, was WWE's shitty answer to the WCW cruiserweight division. That's just the truth. Mm-hmm. I don't care what anyone says. That's the truth. I don't think anyone would disagree with me because the WCW cruiserweight division was nutty. He was in the WCW cruiserweight division. And he was killing it there. I remember one Starrcade, he came out and had like 8 belts on him because he was the holder of 8 belts because he's such an awesome wrestler. The Ultimo Dragon and...
Doesn't beat Jaden 3 belts, though.
Jaden 3... Nah, bro. He would lay down for Jaden 3 belts. I don't know what you're talking about.
Facts.
But, yeah, Ultimo Dragon, Jushin Liger, they didn't need the WWE. And again, despite... This just goes to show how good Liger was. Despite only competing in one match and making most of his career in Japan, he was inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame this year. Mm-hmm. Because Jushin Thunder Liger is wrestling royalty. Yep. The man, there's never going to be another one like him. Nobody's ever going to wrestle like on his level with his consistency. Because the last match that he wrestled was day 2 of Wrestle Kingdom. As in he wrestled the night before his last match. He wasn't one of those guys where like, he had the schedule. He just, up until January, he had the schedule of a regular WWE superstar, wrestling night in, night out, on every show. Jushin Thunder Liger was completely consistent until the very end of his career. And I think that is what sets him apart from every single masked wrestler, maybe even wrestler, that has ever wrestled. I'm not saying he's the greatest of all time, but I don't think there's ever going to be another Iron Man like Jushin Liger.
His mask is also, like...
iconic.
Maybe the greatest mask
of all. It's so cool. Dude, he's got...
probably the coolest mask. Like, no other mask has horns like that. Like, that is just so fire.
I was saying, that Luchasaurus' horns are kind of cool, but not nearly as cool. Liger didn't have to have those horns, but he had them anyway, because Jushin Liger is so cool. No else's horns I like. I like, you know, Ligero in NXT UK?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's got a cool mask. It's so funny. I'm sorry. Yeah, I agree, because I know what that sounds like. It is kind of stupid. But, I think it's very funny. I do like a bit of Ligero, but this is not about Ligero.
I don't know, they're too curvy for me. Like, Liger's is like a little bit more like jagged. Ligero's is too like, I feel like you can grab those easily.
There have been a couple times where they've done, like, grabbing the horn as a spot, and then it's like, he, like, sells it for, like, a second, and then he's like, wait, this isn't actually my head. And it's funny. it's pretty funny. But I do love a bit of Ligero, and I love a lot of Jushin Liger. This is going to go up on Twitter. This might be when I win. But Ultimo Dragon...
Well, yeah, you probably will win this one. This is, like, one of the most mainstream masked wrestlers of all time, besides James Theory.
Jushin? Oh, yeah. Okay, wait. I thought you just said wrestlers. I'm like, what? Yeah, no. Mass wrestlers, yes, because not many of them go mainstream because not many of them are a pretty face because you can't see their face.
Yeah.
But you see Jushin's mask. You don't forget.
Yeah, but you know the mask is his face. Like Rey Mysterio, the mask is his face.
This is true. But anyway, that about wraps it up, I think.
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed. Check out @1306mania on Instagram, the new page. We are looking to make some new content pretty soon. Really looking forward to that. If you want some more of us talking about the graps, it's all there. Follow @1306sports on Instagram, Twitter. Go on Twitter, vote on not only this poll, but a bunch of other polls in 1306. There are a lot up right now. The poll for the Gimmick Hall of Fame, still up for voting. It's between, who is it? It's Kane and the Straight Edge Society.
Yes.
Check that poll out. Still time to vote. Closes Tuesday, I believe, sometime around then. And also vote on this one, who you think is the greatest mass superstar of all time. Also, check out at 1306FC, at 1306Gridiron, both on Instagram. Check out the website at, not at, it's a website, hello. Check out the website, 1306sports.com, read all the articles, listen to all the podcasts. Goat Chat dropped a podcast today. I believe Dribbling Around, was it last night or the night before? Or no, was it last night or tonight that Dribbling Around posted?
I think it was last night, but either way, by the time this goes up, it will be up. So.
Yeah, so go listen to it. I hear they have a cool new logo, from what I understand.
Yes, logo is so cool. Very cool, 10 out of 10.
Yeah, I think I know the guy that made that. But but yes, Jaden, anything else?
No, everyone stay safe. We're seeing WWE getting a little bit of attention with the COVID-19 and Florida spiking. And a lot of other places around the country are spiking, so everyone stay safe. Remember, wash your hands 20 seconds.
20 seconds. It's two happy birthdays, from what I understand. Have a fantastic day, week, month, year, life. Hasta la vista.